grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, leading up to our gospel lesson, there are a number of important notes to pay attention. When Jesus went to his home synagogue in the city of Nazareth, he read from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book and he gave it to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were there in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So here, Jesus begins his Galilean preaching tour by letting people clearly know that he is the one that Isaiah was speaking about, the anointed one sent to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So in the rest of chapter 4 of Luke, Jesus goes from place to place and he is preaching and teaching in the synagogues, and people are bowled over because they were astonished at his doctrine. His word was with power. He didn't speak like the scholars and the Pharisees. He spoke with the authority of God because he was the Son of the living God. And they said things like this: "What word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." And so people wanted him to stay. Don't go elsewhere. Stay here and teach us. Keep teaching us. And he said, "I must preach the kingdom of God in other cities also. That is why I am sent." And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. All right, now, why did I say this to lead up to our text? Because in our gospel lesson for today, we are being given a pictorial glimpse at the power and the success of the Word of God. Right? The Word of God, it says in Hebrews, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is not a dead thing. It is living and active. It does what God sent it to do. In the book of Isaiah, God says through the prophet Isaiah, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that for which I sent it, and it shall prosper in the thing to which I have given it." All right, so the Word of God is not just a typical message like all the messages of the world, but it is a message in which the power and saving work of God is active. And so in our gospel lesson for today, we learn of this power by a miracle which portrays it. All right, let's just dive in. First of all, it says here that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, and he stood at the lake of Gennesaret. So there was a problem. Jesus was preaching, but the people were so desirous to hear him, they wanted to get closer and closer to him, that they began to kind of push him closer and closer to the water, and he was getting swallowed up by the crowd. And so what we see here is there is a great desire on the part of people that when they hear the word of God, they are brought to faith by it, and in faith, they desire to learn more and to hear more and to draw more richly on the thirst-quenching comfort of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, this was causing a problem, and so Jesus turns around and he sees two fishing boats up against the sand of the shore. And he climbs into one of them and he calls over to Simon Peter and he says, can you thrust out a little bit from the land? And Peter does. Now, Peter, Andrew, James, and John are already disciples of Jesus. All right? They're, in a previous time, Jesus had called them to become fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But here, they are already his disciples. So when Jesus climbed into Peter's boat, Peter didn't look and go, who are you climbing into my boat, right? So Peter gets in the boat, gets some guys, and they pull out a little bit from the land. And Jesus uses the boat as a pulpit from which to preach the word of God. So Peter and the other disciples are seeing this. They are seeing the eagerness of the people to hear the word of God, and they are seeing the preaching of Jesus, knowing that they too are called to be fishers of men. That is, to preach the gospel which gathers people into the kingdom of God. And so, the Lord Jesus finishes his sermon, and now comes the audiovisual aid, if you will. All right? And so, the sermon is over, and he has taught the people from the ship, and then he says to Peter, he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. Right? Now there are two little things that Peter notices right away here. First of all, any experienced fisherman knows that you don't fish out in the deep water. That in the Sea of Galilee, everybody knows that all the fish are closer to the shore, not out into the deep. So there's one thing that pricks Peter's ears right away. The second thing is this. It's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. You don't fish at 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning on the Sea of Galilee. Why? Because the fish aren't biting, right? Right? You fish in the Sea of Galilee, you fish at nighttime. Right? You fish at nighttime. So when Jesus says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft, Peter, with all his fisherman experience, his first response shows misgiving. The first words out of his mouth show that he has misgiving. He says, Master, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. So he's not exactly in the mood to row the boat out into the deep water and to go fishing again after a night of failure. And so Peter's first response is that he has misgivings. He doesn't want to do this, right? But something stops him. Something in what he has heard, something in what he has experienced in the teaching and preaching of Jesus causes his hesitancy to be cut short. And instead of saying, thanks for the suggestion, but maybe some other time, right? So he says, instead of doing that, he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And see, what Peter is saying here is that your word has authority. You do not speak as the scribes and the Pharisees. You do not babble about inconsequential things. But your word is a word that assures me of the forgiveness of my sins. It assures me that I have a gracious God. It assures me that this life, with all of its ups and downs, is not all there is, but that there is an eternal life, a kingdom of glory coming. Your word has spoken to my heart and assured me that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And therefore, even though what you have said goes against the normal course of human wisdom, and by the way, the Bible always does that. The Bible cuts right across human wisdom, and it invites us to believe what transcends man's wisdom. It doesn't contradict man's wisdom, it transcends it. All right? And so here we are seeing that Peter's been wrestling with this thing. Jesus has just invited him to do something that doesn't make sense according to common sense, according to fisherman's wisdom, right? But this is Jesus Christ talking. His word is with authority and with power. And if he says it, I'm going to do it. And so he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. And here we see two examples so far of a right attitude towards God's word. The first one we see in the people who are so desirous to hear the word of God that they inadvertently are pressing against Jesus and pushing him closer and closer to the water, all right? But their desire is a good one and a holy one. That is what a Christian desires. A Christian desires to hear and learn the word of God, or as it says in our catechism, to hold it sacred and gladly learn it. The second thing here is this. We Christians, we live in a world that contradicts us. It contradicts us. And it sets aside our gospel as if it were a nothing. But we have learned what the gospel is. It has comforted us. It has assured us. It has been our hope and our stay in times of trouble. We know that God's word is true. And so even when the world dismisses it, and even when the world mocks it, we Christians say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I will believe your word, I will confess it, and I will act upon it. You see? And so Peter goes through a little bit of a change of heart, a realization here. At first, when Jesus tells him to do this, he has misgivings. But then faith overtakes his doubts, and he says, at thy word, I will let down the nets. And in wonderful underestimation here, the Bible just tells what happened. It says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. Right, so they let down the nets, and boom! There's so many fish that the nets that they use to catch the fish are beginning to break. And so it says that Simon had to call to the other guys, come and help us, his partners in the other ship, that they should come and help him. And they ended up filling both of the ships with the catch that was from the nets. And there were so many fish that the two fishing boats began to sink. What is Jesus showing us here? He is showing us the authority, the power of his word to do exactly what it says. He is showing these disciples who are going to go into a hostile world of Roman soldiers, Gentile pagans, Jewish people who reject Jesus, and they're going to go to all of these people and they are going to preach Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is here showing them and showing us that this word is all we really need. Because it is God's word that does the work. If we will but cling to that word, listen to it, hold it sacred, learn it, and teach it to others, God, the Holy Ghost, will, through this word, he will gather a church together. He will enlighten the gathered. He will keep them in the one true faith so that on the last day they will be raised up and enjoy the wonders of the kingdom of glory forever. All right, so this is what we are being shown here, the power and authority of the word. Sometimes the word to us in our modern day looks weak. You know, here we are, a tiny little church. You know, and the word of God is preached, but you know, the pews are always half empty, and we sometimes get discouraged. But we need never be discouraged. Why? Because God is always at work, and God's word never returns to him empty. And therefore, we must continue to cling to the word of God, to take our stand upon it, to relax in it, and to watch God working graciously through it. Now, so the boats are beginning to sink. Simon Peter forgets all about the fish. He forgets all about the boats. And he goes over to Jesus and he falls at his knees. Why? Because he has just seen a powerful demonstration not only of the power of the word, but of the truth that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And this realization fills Peter with a sense of his own sinfulness, his own frequent failings. Even just most recently here, Jesus told him, go out into the deep and set your nets down for a catch. And what did Peter do at first? He's like, I don't think so, right? We've been working all night. Thank you for the advice, but we've been working all night. We haven't caught anything. I need to go home and get a little shut-eye. So even most recently here, our Lord shows Peter what a sinner he is. And so Peter goes down on his knees at Jesus' feet and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What he's saying is, I am not worthy of your attention. I am not worthy of your confidence. I do not deserve to be called as a disciple and to be enrolled in the kingdom of grace. I am a sinful man, O Lord. And Peter means this truly. Just like whenever we make the confession of our sins, we ought to be confessing with true hearts that we are indeed sinful and that we cannot save ourselves. So he says, I'm not worthy of you, Lord. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He was, and Luke says, he said this because he was astonished, and everyone with him, at the draught of fishes that they were taking. The miracle was so stupendous and so instantaneous that it was just hard to register, right? And so he is just overcome. But the important thing to remember is he was overcome not only by the power of the miracle, but also by that powerful sense, I am not worthy. And so anything that we ever receive, we receive by grace, through the mercy of God, by faith, and not because of our worthiness. And so it says, How does Jesus respond to Peter's, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man? How does Jesus respond? He says, fear not, or more accurately, stop being afraid. So the first part here is an absolution. Just like this morning at the beginning of our service, you heard, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And God was, through those words, giving you the forgiveness of sins and assuring your heart that you stand before God as a forgiven sinner. So here, Peter is troubled. He's filled with anxiety and fear. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And Jesus says, stop being afraid. He says, let it go, Peter. Stop being afraid. Fear not. From now on, you will catch men. So he, not only does he absolve him of his sins, but he also reinforces what he had said earlier about his new vocation as a fisher of men. And when they had brought the fish to shore and the ships, they forsook all and followed him. So here in this text today, we are being given a picture in this miracle of the power and success of God's word, so that we may always be people of the word, and that our way of thinking about the world and its contradicting of the message of the scriptures is, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. And so here it is. We are sinful people, just like Simon Peter was. And Jesus, by his holy word, says to us, fear not, from now on you shall catch men. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.